around hundreds of people, and none of these people are going to be in church today. Now, hear me. I don't know any of those hearts. They could totally be Christians, Bible reading, they love Jesus, and just believers are not in church Sunday isn't a bad thing. However, I think it's safe to say that there's probably a percentage of them who don't know the Lord. And I saw a group of people excited to watch a game, excited to see a point that's made, excited to see their kids play, which is fine and dandy. But I don't always see that same excitement in the local church. I don't see the same excitement for Jesus, right? Our Savior, Jesus, the one who came to die for me and for you. But here I am in a gym watching these parents and these peers get excited about a game that at the end of the day does not even matter. That at the end of their life, at the end of their kids' lives, nobody's going to say, how many points did you score at a volleyball game? How many points did your kids score at a volleyball game? How many tournaments did you go to? It's not even going to matter. And so here's where my heart is going in this, is that I hope and pray that we can get stirred up this morning and be excited about Jesus. I'm not saying we have to hoot and holler. I'm not saying we have to fake it. I'm saying that my prayer is that we would get stirred up for Jesus. Amen. I'm going to read a scripture in James 5:13. It says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. This is part of the good news that we get to do. That when we come into this space, it's not just to fill space. It's not just to fill time. We could be doing anything else right now, Sunday morning, but we're here. And this is the good news. Verse 14 says, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. This is the house of God. This is what we get to do. So we get to walk in this place and we get to get stirred up by Holy Spirit. So if you would with me, we could pray. Jesus, we thank you so much for who you are. We pray, God, that you would continue to move in the lives of everyone here. God, I ask, Lord, that you would stir something up new today, God. Lord, that this wouldn't just be what we've been doing previous Sunday after Sunday, God. It wouldn't be the same prayers as last year, Lord. It wouldn't be the same songs we've been singing just because we know them, God. Lord, but there'd be something new stirred up in your children today, God. Let us get excited about your kingdom, God. Let us get excited, God, about what you're doing in our lives, God. And if we don't know what you're doing in our lives, God, let us begin asking you where your goodness is in our lives. Because the simple fact that we woke up this morning is a miracle in itself. The simple fact that we are breathing air right now is a miracle in itself. The simple fact, God, that we have family and friends that love us is a miracle in itself. And so, God, today I pray, Lord, that we would praise you. We'd be grateful, God. We would ask, Lord, that your presence would rest in this space, God, over your sons and your daughters. And I just thank you, Jesus, for the fire of God. For the fire of God, I pray that right now, Lord, over these people, over our church, God, here in Selah, Washington, God, that the fire of God would rest, Lord, on the hearts of your people today, Jesus. We thank you, God, for what you're doing. We thank you for the worship that's about to happen. We thank you for the word over today. But most of all, we thank you that your presence is in this place. We thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen.
Sunrise, the colors of the morning. just a memory and tears are no more. We'll enter in as a wedding bells ring. Your bride and I come together and we'll sing your beautiful. Thank you. won't you get shy on me? Lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
help us realize your worth, your value, Lord. Truly realize the value of who you are in our lives, who you are in all of mankind, all of the world, all of the universe, Lord. Help us realize how valuable you are, the worth of God. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the earth for every single one of us. The cost you paid for each and every one of us, Lord. The price you paid for each and every one of us, because you are worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's do that. You're worthy of it all a few more times, just with our voices. Think of God's worth as you sing it. Think of his value as you're declaring that truth, that he's worthy of it all.
You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Worthy of it all.
You are worthy of it all.
Yes, you are, Lord.
You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things. To you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Yes, Lord, you deserve the glory. That's why we're here, Lord, because you deserve the glory. This service is about you, Lord. It's not about us. And the crazy part is, Lord, when we make it about you, you make it about us. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for being our sacrifice. Thank you for being so worth it all, that your blood paid every sin of the world, of all of mankind. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All around the throne right now, even though we can't see it, even though we can't hear it, the angels are saying, holy, 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 holy. Day and night, they don't stop. Holy, holy, holy. The cherubim going around his throne. Holy, holy, holy. The creatures going around his throne. Holy, holy, holy. Let's remind ourselves that day and night, night and day, we need to let incense rise. And that's your prayers, saints. That's your worship. That's your communication to God. Can we do that, Caden? Just our voices, day and night, night and day.
Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let.
Yes, Lord. You're worthy of it all, Lord. You're worthy of it all. Let our focus, let our attention, let our gaze be towards you the rest of this service, Lord. During our greeting and our meeting and getting our whatever we're getting to snack or drink on, Lord, let us keep you the focus, Lord. Let us keep you the attention your attention on God, our attention on God, because you're worthy of it all. Amen. Amen. We'll take a few minutes and greet each other, love on each other. We will be back in just a few. Thank you, team. Okay, if you would stand with me, we're going to do our declarations over the valley. Your life and death is in the power of your tongue, so let's communicate this with faith and confidence that what we're declaring, God is interested in doing. Amen? Amen. So on three, we're going to start. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city would have all their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in the Yakima Valley as it is in heaven. Amen. Yes, Lord, we do. We believe, God, that you're doing things in the Yakima Valley, as that prayer and that declaration says, right now. Lord, that there's people's lives, Lord, that we know and that we interact with, Lord, that we're not even sure, Lord, that you're working, but you are working in their life, Lord. Just as you were working in my life and no one knew it, Lord, you were drawing me and no one knew it, Lord. I believe, Lord, there's people that we're going to come in contact with this year that you've been working in their lives, Lord. And we pray, God, that you give us the words to speak, Lord, that will help sow seed, that will help water that word that you're doing, Lord, that work that you're doing. And Lord, maybe even to bring in a harvest, Lord. Help us, God, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as your people, Lord, so that we can help see these realities that we're praying and declaring over Yakima Valley come to life, Lord. I pray, Lord, that every single one of our hearts, Lord, would be tender, would be sensitive to the Spirit, and that we would be able to be used by you, Lord, in accomplishing these things in the Yakima Valley. Lord, keep doing your work, Lord. We agree with the work that you're doing, Lord, and give us, Lord, the words to speak when we need to speak them, the love that we need to show when we need to show it, Lord. And Lord, help us, God, to be people of faith, God, that believe a supernatural work is taking place here. That we're not just seeing this place with our natural eyes, Lord, but we're believing what you're doing in the Spirit by your power, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Okay. Does anybody know what happens the first of the year in most churches? We do fasts. And why do we do fasts? We don't do a fast because it's a tradition. We do a fast because it is something that helps prepare our hearts for the year. Kind of does a reset in our spirit. Has anybody done a fast before? Yeah, it just kind of resets everything in you. It's easy to through the busyness of life, the chaos of life, to let kind of God be in some ways kind of pushed down the bottom of the barrel. And fasting, for some reason, when you're denying your flesh things that it wants, allows you to let him rise up in your heart and in your life in a new and fresh way. So we're going to be starting next Sunday is going to be the start of our fast, and we'll go through the 31st. And so this is a fast that is, you can abstain from food if you want. You can abstain from multimedia. Some people, food is not that big of a deal to them. But multimedia, social media, things that take up a lot of your time, maybe you need to say no to those things for 21 days. But it's amazing when you choose God over other stuff, he recognizes that and he makes a difference in your life. He makes a difference in your family's life. He makes a difference in your friends and your coworkers' lives. So I encourage you to be part of this 21-day fast. If you have any questions about it, you can contact me or any of the other pastors. Just give us a text or call us. If you want to sit down with coffee and say, really, what is a fast? We'll be happy to communicate that. But basically, it's just abstaining from things that bring you pleasure. That could be a lot of stuff, right? Okay. Now, during the fast, we're going to have 3 nights of prayer, and we're asking for host homes to be a place where we can go to pray. And so you don't have to, you know, prepare food or anything like that, because we'll be fasting. So it'll just be a place where we gather, worship a little bit, and then pray about what is ever on our hearts. And so I encourage you, if you're wanting to do it, there's 3 nights. There's the 17th, 24th, and 31st. And so what you can do is put your name down, your address, and your phone number if you're interested in one of these nights. It's not anything you have to do, but if you'd like to, be wonderful to gather in your home. Let the presence of the Lord fill the place. Amen? Amen. And then we want to thank everyone who gives to the house, everyone who is part of this house through tithes and offerings. It's what keeps the lights on, what keeps things going. We're thankful to the Lord that we have givers here. If you would like to give, you can give online, or you can give up front or in the back. And just know that as you give, that the Lord is allowing good measure and pressing down and shaking together. Things are coming back to your lives as you're a giver. And then right now, I'd like the children to come up. All the children, please come on up. Hurry, hurry, hurry. It's time for children's ministry. Yes. Oh, now see, that's the kind of excitement that Eric was talking about earlier.
You go, dude.
The heart of a child, right? All right, would you extend your hand? Let's bless them. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for these lives here, these young ones, God, that you've put in this house, Father. We pray you bless them. Help each and every one of them to receive what you have for them today. Lord, I pray that their hearts and their lives would be fully open to what you want to do in them, Lord, not in the future, but right now, Lord, because they're in your kingdom now. So we believe, God, that you're working in their lives, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can go on down. Have a great time. All right. Praise the Lord. And I'm looking. Did I not save the message? Hello? Did I not put the message in there? It's in Dropbox. Yeah. So until it gets up there, I wanted to communicate kind of about some things that are, I think, misunderstood as us as believers. Now, I try to communicate it in all of my messages, but every time we get a chance of thinking of something new, and this is the new year, correct? Oh, thank you. Thank you. You're so good at that. Thank you, Vicky. She is so good at that. Everybody else is just like, okay, Pastor, what are you doing? What? Jesse's just, well, I don't see you back there that much. So a new thing. We're talking about a new thing today. How many celebrated the New Year's by going up to the 12 o'clock time? Anybody? Or a few people? Okay. And we celebrate the new year because we're thinking of something new, a new year, right? We're thinking of something that is going to be a lot of times new to our life. Sometimes people make, you know, resolutions and decide to change certain things about their lives. And some people try to hope that maybe the next year isn't going to be as bad as the last year. Anybody in that boat? You know, you're like, okay, it's a new year. Maybe it won't be as bad as last year. But as believers, I think that the New Year's resolutions are a great idea for us to, you know, if we're trying to maybe make health changes, or we're trying to maybe, you know, create some habits that are really good. But to think that just because we're going into a new year, where we're going to just, like, you know, we have this prayer and fasting. It's like, we're going to change this at this time. We're going to be changing how we are as Christians. I think it can be almost in a way selling us short, or selling God short of what he's already accomplished in us. So I'm going to talk about a new thing today. And this isn't like a new gadget that you buy or that you got for Christmas. We're going to see what this thing is eventually. But we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 through 21. says here that do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. There it is right there, a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? It will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field will honor me, the jackals of the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. Now, as we'll see here, that this is really talking about the people of Israel, people of Jacob. How many know that when we receive Christ, we are grafted into Israel? This right here can apply to our lives. And I think for us to truly become who God wants us to be, a new creation, we need to consider these things. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Now, I'm going to break this down a little bit more, but I want to say right off the bat that I don't think this is that we're not to remember the great things that God has done for us. I don't think that's what he's talking about. I don't think we're supposed to forget how he delivered us or healed us or how he saved our marriage or all of these great works that God has done in our lives, the miracles he's done in my life. I don't think that's what he's talking about. I think he's talking about the things that entangle us, the things that have over the years maybe captured our heart in some way, either through some kind of thing that we've suffered physically or things that we have suffered emotionally because of a tragedy. And it's easy to go back to those things and think about those things and not remember what God has done or look forward to what God's going to do. He's doing a new thing, as he says here. I believe what it's talking here, that it's not just talking about, literal water in the desert. But if you think about when Christ comes into your life, it's like you were a parched desert. It's like you were, some type of, I don't know if you've ever been like an African safari and seen them on TV, but it's just miles and miles and miles of almost no trees or like little bushes or the Mojave Desert. And it's like, it's just needing water. It's needing refreshing. And when we have God come into our lives, it's like rivers of living water come into us. It's like the dryness of our soul is filled. And unfortunately, over time, we can get to the place where we're getting dry again. Our Christianity becomes more of like a duty. It becomes more of like a tradition. It becomes more of something that we have to do instead of something that we are or who we are. I like the saying human being, and it's not a human doing, right? Even though we do a lot of things and we create a lot of things and we're always busy, but I think we also need to realize that we're beings, and that as the scripture says in Acts 17, we're to live and move and exist and have our being in God himself. So he did this to give drink to his people. I wanted to add this verse 22, and show it in a few different translations. Isaiah 43:22, but you have not called upon me, O Jacob, and you have been weary of me, O Israel. This is kind of an indictment for the people of Israel. They had gotten to the place where they had started taking just God for granted and not realizing that he was only a breath away. And I think we can do the same thing as Christians. We can get to the place where we're just living our lives and we're existing again. We're doing, we're human doings, and we're not really being who God wants us to be. And so you can grow weary of God. New Living Translation says this way, but dear family of Jacob, you refuse to ask for my help. You have grown tired of me, O Israel. The message says it this way, but you didn't pay a bit of attention to me, Jacob. You so quickly tired of me, Israel. And the the easy read version says, Jacob, you did not pray to me. Call to me, pray to me. Now, does anybody know what we've been communicating the last I think almost five Sundays now off, is about prayer, right? And so this is a kind of a scripture that's saying, you haven't prayed to me, you've become tired of me. Is that one of the reasons why we don't pray? Is because we're just kind of getting tired of our Christianity? We're getting tired ultimately of God? Or we're getting tired of our faith? Let's awaken ourselves to remembering God and remembering that he's ready and willing to listen to our prayers. So it talks here about forgetting things of old, forgetting old things. It says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. NIV says it this way, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. I think that's really kind of the key. It's like, what are you setting? It's not like you don't remember things, because I remember things from my past, but are you fixated on? Are you dwelling on it? This a lot of times has to do with how we forgive people. When we dwell on their attacks, or we dwell on the things that they've done to us, or things they've said to us, then we dwell on them. What ends up happening is we end up becoming trapped by those thoughts. And you don't leave a lot of room for God when you're trapped by unforgiveness. Anybody relate? When you're filled with unforgiveness, it's hard to let the King of Glory come in. Even though we can sing the song, let the King of Glory come in, if you're full of unforgiveness, or you're full of animosity or anger or resentment, it doesn't leave much room for God. So forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. NLT says it this way, but forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. I love that. It's saying, don't let the past be what captivates you. Look to the future. Look to the new year. So that's a good thing to be thinking about, the new year. God, what are you going to do in my life this year? What are you going to allow me to be part of that you want to do, not just in my life, maybe someone else's life this year? Just as I was praying there, God can use you. God is working in hearts and lives all around you. You can't always tell from the outer appearance. For whatever reason, it's like until the fruit of a new life fully appears, sometimes it's hard to see that God's working in them. I can't tell you how many people have told me that, you know, they've mentioned things to people at work, and they talk to someone, but it doesn't seem like they've really responded. And then they'll see him a couple weeks later, and they said, hey, I just went to church this weekend. Oh, you did? You went to church? Yeah, my friend invited me, but I invited you several times. It was like the seed was right when they heard it that time, and they went to church, and they said, yeah, and I gave my heart to the Lord. And it's like, wow, God was really working in you, and I had no idea. So don't think that if you don't see any results, that God's not working. He's always working. He never stops working. And so you can be praying into how he's working in someone's life, even though it doesn't look like it. And you can see eventually, possibly, results. Maybe in your kids. Maybe in your parents. Who knows who truly needs, aunts and uncles, who needs to come to the Lord? Co-workers. Your prayers, your declarations, your standing in the gap for them could make the difference in their lives. Or at the very least, it's going to help reinforce what God's doing. Amen? Some plant, some reap. Yep. Some water, and some get to harvest. And it is fun to harvest, but we are all necessary in that process of seeing people come to Christ. Luke, in 9:61-22, is kind of a New Testament little bit take on it. This is definitely talking about someone following Christ and what Jesus is talking about, you know, him looking at his life. But the principle here, I believe, still follows the same type of idea. Luke 9:61-62 says, and another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. So this is when Jesus was accumulating disciples. And the previous person said, hey, I want to go, you know, follow you, but I need to go first bury my father. And that's when Jesus says the radical statement, let the dead bury the dead. You know, it's like, whoa, Jesus, that's pretty harsh. But he knew the person's heart. And I believe that's what's happening here. These are individuals that are wanting to sound like they want to come, but they're ready to make excuses. They truly don't mean what they're saying.
Have you ever said that to God? You make a statement, and you're like, oh, Lord, I really want to, but you're almost just kind of making lip service. I've done that before. Maybe it's the moment of a service, or you're reading something in the Word, but it's really not truly a heartfelt commitment. And you know when you make a heartfelt commitment, because your life changes and aligns with that statement. Then it says, but Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I believe all of us as Christians need to realize that when we make that yes and amen to follow the Lord, that we're not to question, you know, whether that was a good idea or whether, you know, or what we might have had we not, you know, made the choice to follow God. Well, maybe I would have been, you know, like a doctor or a lawyer or you know, or would have, you know, you never know. But the thing is that very statement is just like the Israelites in the desert when he has delivered them out of bondage and slavery. And they're going back, you know, those leeks and those the other food that were onions that we were eating there, even though it wasn't, you know, much, we're longing for those, you know. And God was ready to, you know, to meet their needs totally, you know, to where they'd be full and satisfied. Yet they were longing what they had. And it's like they were discounting what God was doing for them. And we don't want to be like that. We don't want to put our hand on a plow and look back. Yeah, I don't. Again, if you think of a plow, you have to always be looking forward. If you're turning around or something, you've got a wayward walk, and you've got a wayward ditch that you just dug because you're not keeping your eye set on the goal. So we have a new thing. We have forgetting old things, but we also have to realize that we have to be looking for the new things, not just letting the new things just come at us haphazardly. It has to be something that we're purposing in our hearts to do. Listen to this, Isaiah verse 43:19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The New Living Translation says this way, for I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. There it is. He's working. They didn't realize that he was working, but he's saying, I'm already doing it. You just haven't recognized it yet. What is God doing in your life today that you haven't recognized? In your life, maybe not someone else's, in your life. He's working in your life. Do you guys believe that? I mean, that's part of my hope, is that I don't have to do everything as a Christian to make myself into who he wants me to be. He's working in me. I mean, there's a scripture that says that it's God at work in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's at work in you. So what does that mean you have to do? Align with that work. Say, Lord, I don't know what you're doing in me, but I align with the work that you want to do in me. Do you see it? Do you not recognize it? It's already begun. Do you see it? Do you not see it? In other words, are you not visualizing? Are you not interpreting? Are you not understanding that I'm working in you? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Paul said it this way in Philippians to the Philippi church. Philippians, did I say what? 3:12-14. Thank you. I'm so glad you guys correct me up here, because I'd have people like, I don't see where he's talking. New King James. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected. Can we all say that? Now, this was Paul. I mean, this is the guy who wrote 3/4 of the New Testament saying this. Not that I've already achieved what I'm after or I'm fully perfected. So what does that tell me? That tells me we're not going to be fully perfected here. So don't try to do that. Don't try to be perfect and then be selling yourself short because you're not perfect. If you're determined to move forward, that's what God's after. What does Paul say? He says, but I press on. I move forward that I may lay hold for that which Christ has already or also laid hold of me. In other words, Christ has grabbed me. Christ is already attained, you know, made me his. Now I'm choosing to follow him. I'm choosing to move forward in what he's doing in my life. Brethren, brothers and sisters, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, in other words, forgetting the old things, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Now, Paul didn't know what all of them were. Some of it is when we receive our eternal life in God, in the heavenlies or in the supernatural realm or this next life that we move into. But there are things that he has for us even this day. He says, I press forward for the goal, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, I set my gaze, I set my attention. You know, I believe he wrote Hebrews. He says, you know, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us, you know, let go of those things that have so easily entangled us in this life. I'm paraphrasing. And now let's turn our attention. Let's turn our focus. Let's set our goal upward into Jesus. The author, who one who wrote our faith, the one who finishes our faith, and for the joy, which is you and I, we are his joy. His joy wasn't just so he could sit on a throne. He already was sitting on a throne. You know, some people say, oh, well, he wanted to sit on God's right. He did that before. He was God. This isn't something that he was longing for. He's longing for you and I. We are the joy that was set before him, that he then endured the cross, despised the shame, and now is seated once again at the throne of God on high. Praise the Lord. All right. So now we need to live in these new things, or living in these new things. So we have the idea of forgetting the old things, putting them in the past, looking for these new things that God wants us to have and move into. But now there's a living in this new thing. This is kind of where I want to settle for a little bit, because this is really what our Christianity is all about. It's not about, you know, just coming to church on Sunday, even though that's great. It's not about just reading your Bible, even though that's good and that edifies and that builds you up. It's not about prayer, even though prayer is part of our faith. It's not about all the Christian dues. It's about what has he already done? Because he's already done something in us. You know, when Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, it created a dynamic that we can enter into a finished work in our lives. So let's look at one of the favorite verses of mine that talk about what this means and what really has happened. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I encourage you to memorize this one. It's a good one to memorize. I've memorized it through the years. Therefore, if anyone, now who's anyone? The pastor? The sound man? The leaders? Everyone, anyone, if anyone is in Christ, and how do you get in Christ? You receive Jesus into your heart. Lord, I believe that you died on the cross for me. I believe that you went to hell for me when you were in the grave 3 days, that you took my place. I believe, Lord, that you were resurrected on the third day, and I believe, Lord, that you're now ascended into heaven and that you are alive in me. And that's being in Christ. That's it. I mean, there's lots of other things you can learn about Christianity and all of that and about God, but that's being in Christ. It's choosing to be his. And he is a new creation. Who's a new creation? Anyone. Everyone who's in Christ is a new creation. Some translations say you're a new creature. I would go, you're a new thing. You are a new thing. You're not the same thing you used to be. Old things have passed away. Here we go. Old things. What are those old things? Your old man, your old behaviors, those things that you used to do that used to be, you know, your calling card when people saw you and knew you, you know, that when you gave your heart to Christ, like, well, you don't drink anymore. You don't smoke anymore. You don't cuss anymore. Different things that we used to do that were like the mark of who we are. You're not as angry as you used to be. You don't cuss like you used to. Could be all kinds of things. You know, maybe some people give up, you know, drugs or whatever it is when they come to Christ. But those old things have passed away. What does passed to me means? They've died. They have died. And then behold, in other words, look, take notice. All things have become new. So there's old things that have passed away, but there's new things that are now in our lives, and they've become new. Now, how do they become new? By faith. By renewing our minds. You have to renew your mind by faith. You have to believe that if I pursue God and I'm after his truth, I'm after his truths to come into my heart and my life, that all things are going to become new in me. That my mind's going to be renewed and I'm going to see things clear more from his perspective. Galatians 6, all of the chapters of Galatians, Paul's dealing with people who are being caught up in a idea by what were called Judaizers, people from the sect who had become Christians, but they were really holding on to their Jewish traditions more than just their Christian faith. They thought you needed to keep the whole law, you needed to keep everything, that Jesus was good and we needed salvation, but you also had to keep, you know, the old law. And Paul's dealing with them. He's saying, you know, because it was over circumcision, which, you know, if you don't understand what that is, go look it up. But basically, it was a physical thing that was given to Abraham that he was to do so that he would be marked as God's. And all of his descendants were called to do that as well. And that was part of what marked them as Jews, as Hebrews, as Abraham's seed. But we're not circumcised necessarily with the circumcision on the flesh. We're circumcised in the heart. We have been circumcised. When we receive Christ, we receive a circumcision that's supernatural and spiritual. Even the gals, they receive a supernatural circumcision. And it's of the heart. It's a new heart. And we're identified in our faith in God with that circumcision. So Paul's going back and forth, trying to communicate to these Galatians who were bewitched, basically, saying, who's come in and lied to you so much that you're leaving the gospel of Christ? And so he goes on to say here, for not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. In other words, hey, look who we got to follow our ways. Not for the person's benefit, but that they could pad their own, what do you call it when you're making marks that you've accomplished, you know, your own trophy. Yeah, they're your trophy. You're not caring about them. You know, they're just somebody that you're part of your scorecard. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. Now, let me put this in today's language. In other words, it's not about your do's and don'ts. It's not about, you know, how much you read the Bible today versus what you read the Bible last year, or read the Bible this year versus how you read the Bible last year. Even though reading the Bible every day is good and it's beneficial and it will do things in you, but it's not about a scorecard. It's not about you saying, checking off for yourself, and you can feel good about yourself. Okay, I did this. Or it's not about how many times you come to church. Even though I love to see you at church, I love fellowship with the family. It's not even about, and don't take this wrong, but it's not even about keeping yourself always just, okay, I can't sin. I can't ever do that. I mean, concentrating so much on trying to be good, you know, that you're activating sin in you because you're, you know, when you try not to sin, you sin for whatever reason. Has anybody ever made like a vow and they say, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. And you're doing it in your own strength. Guess what? You're going to do it. You've just activated that sin in you. The more you don't want to do something, as Romans 7 says, the more you'll do it. The more you tell your kids not to run in the streets, guess what they want to do? run in the streets. So how do you keep them from running? You feed them with truth. If you run in the streets, honey, eventually, if you're not looking, a car is going to hit you. So, you know, you do it out of love. You just don't say, don't do it, because you're activating sin. You tell a kid, don't touch that hot burner. What do they want to do? I'm going to touch this hot burner. I want to see what happens. So what is Paul saying here? Listen, it's not about all of that. It's about a new creation. You're a new creation. Let this new creation live that's inside of you. Let this new thing that's inside of you. You are a new thing is what he's saying. It's about you being born again. It's about you having a new life. And this new life will allow things to flow out of you that will be in the do's and don'ts, but it will be mostly in the do's for God because it's a new life. You're not trying to keep from doing what your old man does just, you know, to chalk it up or to mark it down or to, you know, to fight against your old. It's like, no, I'm going to live in this new life that God's given me. You know, choose life. You know, I can think of Joshua, you know, when he's talking to all of his tribes and he's talking to the leaders, he's saying, you know, we used to follow gods in Egypt and we used to, you know, there's other gods around here and you need to make sure that your house is in order and you need to be, you know, you need to be the ones that are keeping us following God, but choose this day who you're going to serve. And as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Making that choice. As for me and my house, I'm going to let the new life of Christ live in me. I won't always do everything perfect. But there were times when I was trying to do the right things, but you know what didn't flow? Love. For whatever reason, in the law, love doesn't flow. And if you look, you can see that demonstrated in Jesus' life. Those guys were trying to keep every little bit of the law, yet when Jesus was out loving, they despised him. They despised his character. He despised his nature because in their eyes, he wasn't keeping the law enough because he was healing on the Sabbath day, on the day that the law says you're not to work. So they made healing part of that not working. They didn't see the goodness of God in somebody that was crippled from their whole life or blind from their whole life. And now they can see. They were more concerned about the law. They didn't realize that God had something else in mind when he told them about the Sabbath day. And Jesus tried to explain to him, listen, the Sabbath was not given, or man was not given for the Sabbath. Let's put it this way. In other words, man was not made so that he would have to pigeonhole into the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man so he could rest. So he could be restored and refreshed. Not as something that was a burden that you couldn't bear. Now you read the Old Testament and, you know, it can cause like questions. But that Jesus is trying to say that I am the Sabbath. You know, if we're in Christ, we're really in the Sabbath. Because he is our rest. The ultimate rest. So do we need to take, you know, the Sabbath? You can. And it's probably good for you to take a good break. Anybody had to work 7 days a week for a long time? What ends up happening? You get weary. You burn out. So that rest is good. So a new creation. 1 Peter 1:23 through 25. For you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. I love this. This born-again experience wasn't just supposed to be for something that happened 25 years ago or 5 years ago or 2 days ago. It's a never-ending, constant life flow because it's rooted in the Word. It's not rooted in just something you did, you know, on a set date. Even though it's great to remember that, it's like we can be born again every day. A fresh new start in God every single day. When I was thinking of this, what's it say about his mercies are new every morning? And Jesus says, don't take care of tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to take care of itself, right? So today's a new day that we're to live in. Every single day is, like Pastor Eric said, a gift that we've been given. We're alive, we're breathing. But it's not only that, it's a new day for us to experience our new birth in Christ. It's like we get to be a new creation today, if we look at it that way. Or we can start examining where we're at in our walk. We can start seeing the things that we haven't done to measure up to God's standards in our eyes. And we start becoming disheartened and frustrated and tired. And even tired of God, because we try to make God something that we do instead of something that we are. And so when we make God something that we do, if we fall short, guess what we become tired of? God. Because we're not measuring up. But God is not measuring us like on a ruler or a stick. He's looking at our hearts. And if your heart is for God, you're good. Yeah, there's times that we make mistakes and the Holy Spirit says, hey, son, daughter, that... you need to get that out of your life. Or you need to go and tell that person you're sorry. Or you need to restore that relationship or something. But God's not holding his love from you in that state. And he's not stopped working in you in that state. It's his work that is getting you to the place where you'll go and talk to that person. Or you will, you know, stop doing what you were doing or saying what you've been saying. It's that love relationship with him that allows us to be that new creation. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal. Wow. That new thing you are will last forever. So if you're seeing your life and it's not measuring up to maybe how you thought you would be up to this day, or maybe where you were when you were first saved. When I was first saved, I did some radical, crazy things. And sometimes I think about, why don't I do that anymore? I don't know if it's because of the different season in my life, but I can start thinking like, well, maybe I'm not measuring up anymore. And I start getting down on myself. And the problem is, it takes away my heart of attention towards God because I'm focusing on myself. Even focusing on your sins is focusing on yourself. Do you realize that? It'd be better to say, well, I repent from this. I'm going to look to God. And God is going to help me get out of all this. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal, living word of God. As the scriptures say, people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades. But the word of the Lord remains forever. And where is the word of the Lord? It's planted in you. It's been a seed that's been planted in you. And some of you say, well, someone plucked it out. No, no one plucked it out. Well, I plucked it out. No, you can't pluck it out. It's been planted in you. Can you let it go dormant? Yeah. Can you refuse to let it have its work in you? Yeah. But it hasn't gone anywhere. God's not going to remove his seed from your life. Just as you would not reject one of your children, no matter how crazy they get. You're going to love them through every thick and thin, all that they go through. You're not going to disown them because of their behavior. Hopefully not. Because they've been given to you as a gift. And even though that gift may be all sideways right now, that doesn't mean that you're to stop loving them. And that's the heart of the Father. When we get all sideways and squirrely, he's still loving us. His seed is still in us. It's an eternal work, the living word is. But the word of the Lord remains forever. And that word is the good news that was preached to you. There you go. When you heard the good news and you received it, I heard the good news for years and I just thought it was blah, 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 blah. But when I received the good news, it became alive in me. And it became an eternal word in me, even though I didn't understand it at the time. I didn't know that what was planted in me was going to transform me and change me into something that I don't recognize, you know, who I was even hardly anymore. When I tell people of my behavior and things I used to do and the way I treated people and everything, they go, "You? Yeah, because I didn't realize that eternal word was going to work from the inside out and change me. But I had to apply my faith. I had to choose things in my life." This is the thing. Do you have to read your Bible to be a Christian? No, but you get to read your Bible. Do you have to pray? No, but you get to pray. It's an honor. It's a privilege. It's part of that, I'm going to press towards the upward call in Christ Jesus. I mean, do you have to do anything else after you're saved to approach God? I guess not, because you believed. But what an empty life. What an empty life. What a lost potential if we never do anything. I've given this illustration before. You know, a husband and wife get married and they're standing at the altar. And, you know, and he kisses his wife. And they go out the doors and he goes one way and she goes another. They're married. But what life is that? Well, I'm married. Okay. When's the last time you talked to your wife? 10 years ago. Okay. That's no relationship. No, but I'm married. I mean, a paper says you're married, but what is the actual relationship? See, it's about relationship. That's when he says, it's not about all those things you do. You're a new creation. You now have relationship with God. You don't have to please him with duties. You need to just have relationship with him. Now, some of us can't relate to relationships because we're not good at relationships. We maybe need to get that healed in our hearts and ask God to heal us to the place where we can have relationships with each other, where we can have fellowship, where we let people into our heart and our lives. And we you want to make sure that people are going to care for your heart. Maybe you've been wounded by someone. Don't just throw the baby out with the bathwater. There are individuals out there that you can connect with that love you, will encourage you, and help you become that new creation, that new thing that God wants you to be. God's doing a new thing. And you are it. You are the new thing. You just have to realize it. You have to forget what you did yesterday, what you did last year, what you did 20 years ago, and look to what God wants to do in your life today. And be amazed at what he can do. So with that said, I encourage you to do this 21-day fast with us. I encourage you to come to the Saturday night prayer nights, not to fill some duty for Pastor Mike or the staff here or even yourself, to help you become more of that new thing that you are. That amazing creation that you are. You know, Adam and Eve were like the very first. They began all of this. And when God formed Adam from the dust of the earth, and however he did that, I don't know, he's God. But it says something, he breathed the breath of life into Adam. And no other animal does it really say that he literally breathed into him. And I don't know if he, you know, got up in his face. It was like he was, or if it just, he just breathed, just as Jesus breathed on his disciples, said, "Receive the Spirit." I don't know how it is, but he breathed that life in them. And I believe when we approach God and we keep going closer to him and do things, reading our word, praying, again, not as a duty, but as we get to grow in Christ and get to develop that relationship, then more of his breath comes alive in us. More the rivers of living water flow. Amen? Amen. 21 days of prayer and fasting. If you've been kind of overwhelmed and burdened and heavy weighted and maybe just distracted from God, I encourage you to join us next Sunday for 21 days. You don't have to do it 21 days. You could do it 5 days. But do something to say, Lord, I'm going to choose you this day, every day. What time is it? What time is prayer? Oh, it is 6:30. Yeah, it's not up there. You're right. 6:30. It was on the sheet that went around. What time? 6:30. It'll be 6:30 at an undisclosed location right now because I don't know if we have any people that signed up, but it will be someplace. If it's not at someone's home, it will be definitely at our home. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are new things in you. And, Lord, we believe that as you said in Isaiah 43, that you're doing a new thing, Lord, that you're doing something new in us right now. Lord, help our faith to connect with you in such a way, Lord, that we allow that new thing to be completed in us. Lord, I know none of us are perfect yet. None of us will attain that while we're here in this life. But Lord, we want to press hard towards the goal of the upward call in Christ Jesus. We want to set our eyes, Lord, like a flint on you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, help us forget the things in the past. Help us to not be so overwhelmed with our mistakes and the things that people have done to us and the things that we've done that we miss that you're working in us right now. That we can recognize that you're at work in us for your good pleasure. I pray right now for every heart and every life, Lord, that you would awaken them to the truth and the reality that God is alive in them. That they're not doing this on their own, but that God is at work in them. And you're helping them to become all that they can be as a new creation, a new creature, a new thing.
of it all. It's all for you, God. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You're the reason why we're here. Cause you're worthy of it all. Every day of my life, you're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You know, before we end tonight, or today, I just pray that, believe right now that there's people in here that need things broken off. There are things that you brought into the new year that should have stayed in last year. So I want us just to sing this one more time, or probably a few more times. And I want us to sing, "You are worthy," over us letting go of brokenness, over sickness, over if you need a healing in your body. Come on, this is the God that we serve, not a God that is. We serve a God that does the impossible. We serve a God that's big, and he is worthy. We have to stop playing church. We have to stop just being a human. How did you say it? A human doer, but a human being. Come on. So if that's you and you want to start this afresh in you, like the word that pastor just shared, and you want to reclaim the victory that God has before us, I just want us to sing this over us. Maybe there's a family member you know, people that you know that need to know Jesus, people that you know that need freedom from addiction, people that you know that need restoration in their lives. And if that's you in this room, I just want us to sing this over ourselves, sing this over our families in 2026. Can we do this today, church? Come on. Because you're worthy of it all. From you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. We believe it today. You're worthy of it all. It's all for you, God. You're worthy of it all. All of the glory, all of the praise. For from you are all. To you are all things. You deserve the glory. Oh, one more time, just the voices. You're worthy of it all.
He deserves the glory. All of the glory is his. Amen. Does anyone have anything that they want to share? Any testimony? Anything that goes along with today's service or message? Anyone?
I do.
All right.
I have a friend in ministry. His name's Josh Cook, and he serves at Living Faith Victory Center. And Josh comes from a really crazy life, and he, his mom didn't know Jesus. Actually, he said that his mom would mock Jesus. Wow. And recently, through different circumstances, because she lived in Arizona, he moved her up to Washington to live with his family. With no, like, just... I love my mom. I want her to be here with us. And he said, I didn't preach at her. I didn't shove the Bible down her throat. I just was living my life. And in, I think she's been here a month or so. She's received the Lord. She's gotten baptized. And she is living a new life.
Praise God.
Come on. Can we give it up for Jesus for that?
That's awesome. A big deal. Praise God. She's a new thing.
Amen.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Have a great week. Love you all. And we will see you guys soon.